The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a certain man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother John was sick, was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and dried his feet with her hair. The sisters sent word to Jesus to inform him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Upon hearing this, Jesus said, "The sickness is not to end in death. Rather, it is for God's glory, that through it the Son of God may be glorified." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. Yet after hearing that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 days more. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "Rabbi," protested the disciples, "were the Jews only recently trying to stone you? You are going back up there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? If a man goes walking by day, he does not stumble, because he does see the world bathed in light. But if he goes walking at night, he will stumble, since there is no light in him." After uttering these words, he added, "Our beloved Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him." At this, the disciples rejected. "Lord, if he is asleep, his life will be saved." Jesus had been speaking about his death, but they thought he meant sleep in the sense of slumber. Finally, Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, that you may come to believe. In any event, let us go to him." Then Thomas, the name means twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go along and die with him." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. The village was not far from Jerusalem, just under 2 miles, and many Jewish people had come out to console Martha and Mary over their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Even so, I am sure that God will give you whatever you ask of him." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus assured her. "I know he will rise again," Martha replied, "on the resurrection, on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me, though he should die, he will live again. And whoever is alive and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this, Lord?" they replied, "Yes. I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. He was to come to save the world." When she had said this, she ran back and called her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, asking for you," she whispered. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up and started out in that direction. Actually, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the spot where Martha had met him. The Jews who were in the house with Mary, consoling her, saw her get up quickly and go out, so they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was, seeing him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jewish folk who had accompanied her also weeping, he was troubled in spirit, moved by the deepest emotions. Where have you laid him? And they asked. Lord, come and see, they said. Jesus began to weep, which caused the Jews to remark, see how much he loved him. But some said, he opened the eyes of the blind man. Why could he not have had done something to stop this man from dying? Once again, troubled in spirit, Jesus approached the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid around it. Take away the stone, Jesus directed. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, it has been 4 days now. Surely there will be a stench. Jesus replied, tonight I assure you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. They then took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they may believe that you have sent me. Having said this, he called loudly, Lazarus, come forth. The dead man came out, bound hand and foot, with linen strips, his face wrapped in a cloth. Untie him, Jesus said, and let him go free. This caused many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did to put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In his long gospel of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, performed, by the way, just shortly before Christ's condemnation and crucifixion, we are told many things, but especially these three. Jesus deliberately delayed going to see Lazarus to make sure he was dead. Why did he want to make sure? Because he foresaw that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. The lesson for us, things we would expect God to prevent or forestall, he allows to happen so that his power might be manifest. Second, Lazarus had been buried 4 days. His sister objected, your brother will rise from the dead. And professing the faith of believing Jews, she said, I know he will rise again on the last day. Then Christ pronounced those historic words, I am the resurrection and the life. Finally, Lazarus came out of the tomb, shouted, had to be untied, and came to be with his sisters. The single most important truth which this miracle teaches us, that Christ, on the eve of his own passion and death, as the last crowning proof that he had power over life and death, he raised Lazarus from the grave. It is impossible, impossible to believe rationally in all the humanly inconceivable truths of divine revelation without miracles. Miracles belong to the essence of Christianity. Very well, as Augustine declared, it is a greater miracle to bring a sinner back to God than it was for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. As long as there's a breath of life in me, I'll be telling people this must be the age of miracles. The conversion in high places, among churchmen, bishops, priests, theologians, the conversion they need will require not one, but a series of miracles. And what we need is the faith of a Martha, who knew that if Jesus had come before, her brother had not died. And having died, she was sure Christ would raise him from the dead. I cannot tell you how important it is to have deep faith in Christ's miraculous powers, especially to raise the spiritually dead back to life. This, please God, will be the age of massive conversions depending on our faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously
hear us. God, the Father of heaven.
Have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God.
Have mercy on us.
Holy Mary.
Pray for us.
Holy Mother of God.
Pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins.
Pray for us.
Mother of Christ.
Pray for us.
Mother of the Church.
Pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace.
Pray for us.
Mother most pure.
Pray for us.
Mother most chaste.
Pray for us.
Mother inviolate.
Pray for us.
Mother undefiled.
Pray for us.
Mother most amiable.
Pray for us.
Mother most admirable.
Pray for us.
Mother of good counsel.
Pray for us.
Mother of our Creator.
Pray for us.
Mother of our Savior.
Pray for us.
Virgin most prudent.
Pray for us.
Virgin most venerable.
Pray for us.
Virgin most renowned.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most merciful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most faithful.
Pray for us.
Mirror of justice.
Pray for
seat
us.
Of wisdom.
Pray for us.
Cause of our joy.
Pray for us.
Spiritual vessel. Vessel of honor.
Pray for
singular
us.
Vessel of devotion.
Pray for
mystical
us.
Rose.
Pray for
Tower
us.
Of David.
Pray
Tower
for
of ivory.
Pray
house
us.
Of gold.
Pray
Ark
for
of the covenant.
Pray for
gate
us.
Of heaven.
Pray
morning
us.
Star.
Pray
health
us.
Of the sick.
Pray
refuge of sinners.
Pray
comfort of the afflicted.
Pray
help of Christians.
Pray
queen of angels.
Pray
queen of patriarchs.
Pray
queen of prophets.
Pray
queen of apostles.
Pray
queen of martyrs.
Pray
queen of confessors.
Pray
queen of virgins.
Pray
queen of all saints.
Pray
queen conceived without original sin.
Pray
queen of your hope.
Pray
queen assumed into heaven.
Pray
queen of the most holy rosary. Queen of Peace, Queen of the Society of Jesus, Queen of the Marian Catechist, Queen of the Ignatian Catechist, Lamb of God who takest away the sins of the world, Lamb of God who takest away the sins of the world, Lamb of God who takest away the sins of the world, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray, pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts. That we too in the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross he brought the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Rid yourselves of all your sins, and make a new heart and a new spirit. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am going away. You will look for me, but you will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. At this, some of the Jews began to ask, does he mean that he will kill himself when he claims, where I am going, you cannot come? He went on, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, a world which cannot hold me. That is why I said, you will die in your sins. You will surely die in your sins, unless you come to believe that I am. Who are you then? They asked. Jesus answered, what I have been telling you from the beginning, I would say much about you in combination. But no, I only tell the world what I have heard from him, the truthful one who sent me. And they did not grasp that he was speaking to them of the Father. Jesus continued, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will come to realize that I am, and that I do nothing by myself. I say only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, since I always do what pleases him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. If there is one message that our Lord constantly tries to bring across to the people, it is that he is truly God. The expression, I am, is a name that God gave himself already on Mount Sinai to Moses. Jesus is God. There is nothing more important in our faith, nothing more important in our faith than that God became man in order that he might suffer and die for a sinful human race. We believe that the human race has sinned. Past tense. We believe that we have sinned. Present tense. Having sinned, God became man in order to redeem us from our sins. As my Jesuit confrere, St. Robert Bellarmine, taught the Jesuit scholastics in his day, if there is one thing we need to know, it is that sin must be terrible. sin must be the most awful evil in the world. Why? Because God became man that he might be able to die for his sin. Read the Detroit News from page 1 to the last page. The Free Press, page 1 to the last page. The New York Times, page 1 to the last page. Time Magazine, page 1 to the last page. Sin is canonized in the modern world. Sin is glorified. And may God forgive them and two bishops of this venerable state of Michigan publicly on the first page of the Michigan Catholic, in effect telling the people, sin. Lord God, you came into the world to teach us the tragedy of sin. Open our blind eyes, dear Jesus. Open them so that, being conscious of sin in this world, expiating our sins and making reparation for the sins of others, we might be spared the tragedy of waking up in eternity, realizing how blind we've been to the existence of sin in this world. Amen. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. With all your heart, turn to me, for I am tender and compassionate. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you live according to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," was their answer. "Never have we been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "I give you my assurance. Everyone who lives in sin is a slave of sin. No slave has a permanent place in the family, but the son has a place there forever. That is why, if the son frees you, you will really be free." "I realize you are of Abraham's stock. Nonetheless, you are trying to kill me because my word finds no hearing among you. I tell you what I have seen in my Father's presence. You do what you have heard from your father." They retorted, "Our father was Abraham." Jesus told them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be following Abraham's example. The fact is, you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham did nothing like that. Indeed, you are doing your father's works." They cried, "We are no illegitimate breed. We have but one father, and that is God himself." Jesus answered, "Were God your father, you would love me. For I came forth from God and am here. I did not come of my own will. It was he who sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord. What our Lord is telling us in the gospel we've just read, we all need to hear. To the extent to which we are attached to creatures that are contrary to the will of God, we are slaves. And the worst imprisonment is not being behind bars. The worst imprisonment is to be enslaved by one's own inordinate desires. For now, 450 years, the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius have been given to hundreds of millions of people. And the foundation is to be freed from inordinate attachments. If there is one thing that we should all do, beginning with the speaker, during the season of Lent, is ask ourselves in God's presence, what are our inordinate attachments? What are the creatures in our lives that enslave us? We are enslaved by our pride. We are enslaved by our passion of lust. We are enslaved by our uncontrolled anger. We are enslaved by our uncontrolled laziness. Go down what we casually call the seven capital sins. They are all built-in, inveterate forms of enslavement. And Christ tells us He and He alone can free us. Over the years of teaching comparative religion, if there's one thing that I become convinced of, there must be only one true religion, and that is Christianity, because it, on the one hand, soberly tells us we are all, and the word is universal, we are all, in greater or less measure, enslaved by our sinful urges and fears. And there is only one remedy, and that is Jesus Christ. We cannot, and the verb is we cannot, by ourselves, control our sinful impulses. I repeat, the verb is we cannot. We need His help, and we need it constantly, and we must constantly pray for help. Lord Jesus, You told us we are all in greater or less measure enslaved by our own inordinate, uncontrolled passions and desires. You tell us that You alone can set us free. Dear Jesus, we beg You, liberate us from our own internal enslavement, so that, freed by You, we may love You. Deliver us, dear Jesus, from our own enslaving self-will, so that we may love you with all our hearts and possess you in that eternity for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews, I solemnly assure you, if a man is true to my word, he shall never see death. Now we are sure you are possessed, the Jews retorted. Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, yet you can claim a man shall never know death if he keeps my word. Surely, you do not pretend to be greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets, who died. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, that glory comes to nothing. He who gives me glory is the Father, the very one you claim for your God, even though you do not know him, but I know him. Were I to say to you, I do not know him, I would be no better than you, a liar. Yes, I know him well, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. At this the Jews retorted, You are not yet 50. How can you have seen Abraham? Jesus answered them, I solemnly declare it. Before Abraham came to be, I am. At that they picked up rocks to throw at Jesus. But he hid himself and slipped out of the temple precincts. This is the gospel of the Lord. Among the four evangelists, the one who is most explicit and emphatic about Christ's divinity is John. And within the Gospel of John, there is no single affirmation of his divinity than the statement we've just read in today's Gospel. Jesus said two words, I am. What was Christ affirming? He was affirming that he, though obviously human, walked, talked, ate, drank, slept, yet said, I am. What was our Lord telling us? He was telling us that he, though man indeed, was the being who cannot not be. He is the one who must be. He is the necessary being. By implication, if Christ is the necessary being, then we, and we've coined a word, we are contingent beings. We need not be. You could be the empty chairs, and I could be this empty rostrum. Christ is the being who cannot not exist, we do not have to be. Of ourselves, we are what we were before we became what we are. We were absolutely nothing. And there is no single truth of our faith that is more basic than to realize that, except for the infinite God, we did not exist, need not exist, and except for God, would not exist. We are, and we cannot repeat too often, we are nothing except for the God who made us what we are. By implication, and what an implication, by implication, we are totally, utterly, completely dependent on God. If there is one adverb that we creatures had better keep reminding ourselves, it is that we are totally dependent on God. Dependent on God for our existence. Dependent on God for our future existence. So what's the conclusion? The conclusion is, being so totally, utterly dependent on God, we, O God, correspondingly, our complete and total and utter and absolute obedience. That's why, how seldom I'm afraid we hear this in a homily, that's why there's a hell. Because creatures who, except for God, would not even exist. Creatures, what a mystery, are able to say no to the will of God. Lord Jesus, you are our God. You are the being who cannot not be. In your love, you made us. We who were nothing and would be nothing except for you. Jesus, open our blind eyes to see that we depend entirely on you, provided we are obedient to you and your will here on earth. We will possess you for all eternity. Give us, dear Jesus, the light to see our nothingness. Give us humility to give ourselves entirely to you here on earth, so you may give yourself entirely to us in that destiny for which we were made. Amen. In the name of